I'll be speaking tonight. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 and begin reading in verse 10. Genesis 24:10, and the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand, and he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast shown kindness unto my master. And it came to pass... Oh, I'm sorry. Let's stop there. Thou hast shown kindness unto my master. Let's again go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask your blessing on this evening. We ask that you would speak to our hearts and that you would set our hearts right for laying our requests before you. Lord, that we would be refreshed and encouraged, and that this time of prayer that we have will be one of pure focus on your Son and his glorification. Lord, that all of our prayers would be aligned with the preeminence of our Savior, and that we would pray in accordance with your great will and with the plan that you have established. Lord, you are a great and a wonderful God, and we look to you for all things. Lord, we ask that you would speak to our hearts this evening and teach us something. It's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen. This evening, I wanted to begin a series of studies, I hope, on the Wednesday evenings that I have for the rest of the year on the prayers of the Bible and working our way through the prayers that are spoken and uttered and recorded for us in the Bible, looking at who was praying, what they prayed for, why they prayed, how they prayed, what were the results, and what other lessons can we learn from their prayers. And tonight we are in Genesis 24 because, as I defined prayer, this is the first prayer in the Bible. And I'm defining prayer as similar to how we would talk to God today. So that excludes all of Abraham's conversations with God, all of Adam's conversations with God, all of Noah's conversations with God. Because in those times, they immediately received verbal feedback. And so our prayers are different than that today, in that we do not immediately receive oral verbal feedback that we can hear. Those were more conversations, and I want to look at the prayers, the times when there is no one speaking back right away. So that would make this the first prayer in the Bible. We're likely all aware of the circumstances of this story. Abraham has sent his servant out to find a bride for his son Isaac. And he trusted this servant. He made this servant swear an oath that the servant would go and would find a woman that is willing to return, a woman that is not a Canaanite, and I believe those are the only two. But the wife that the servant finds would be the right one for Isaac. Oh, and the other thing was that Isaac was not allowed to go back to the land of his family. That was the other thing that the servant had to swear. So the servant goes out and he has this tremendous task. The servant's given all these specific guidelines. He's given all of this weight of treasure behind him to go and convince the right woman to come back and to leave her family and to come marry a man that she's never seen. He has to convince the father of that woman that that it's the right thing to do. He has to select a woman that Isaac will approve of. And he has to select a woman that Abraham will approve of. And all of this weight is on this servant. I do not envy his task. That would not be an easy thing to have been asked to do. So, as we are looking at these prayers, we're considering who is praying. This servant is never named. We're never given the name of this servant. We don't know who it is. It's a man that is well trusted by Abraham. A man that's only seeking what his master wants. And we'll see that in some of the things that he describes and says. And it's on a mission, as we've described, a very difficult mission. So what is he praying for? It's a very specific prayer. He prays for success for himself, kindness for his master. He reveals his own situation. He tells God where he is and why he's there. Then he requests a specific sign that would make the Lord's choice very clear. And he acknowledges that God has a specific plan by saying he's asking for the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. So those are the factors that come into his prayer, the things that he's praying for. So why is he praying? Why did he not just go on and do this task on his own? Why bother praying? Well, I would say that it's a difficult task, a nearly impossible task to do correctly on your own. So he's praying because he's worried, because he has no plan, no method for achieving success in this, apart from having some kind of external help. If you were trying to appease all of these people and bring about the best situation in this situation, wouldn't it be a lot better to contact the one that knows intimately each of the players involved? And so he prays. He prays because he needs help. He prays because of the tremendous weight of his task. How does he pray? How does this servant pray? Do we read that the servant kneeled down? Do we read that the servant lifted up his hands? Do we read that the servant closed his eyes? We don't even read that the servant paused. For all that we know, the servant is standing alone by the well, a understanding and finding it clear that he's at the place where he wants to start looking, but no one else is around. And audibly, he says, God, help me, give me success in this matter, show kindness to my master. Let the woman that I'm looking for be the one that does this and this and this. And so, show your appointed one to me, the one that you would have for Isaac, and show kindness to my master. The servant is also doesn't speak in any kind of flowery language. He doesn't speak in any kind of tremendously theological and weighty justification for why he is appealing to the God of Abraham. He just says, God, God of my master Abraham, I need help. I'm here at this well. I'm looking for a woman. who will be the wife of Isaac. You know who it is, and will you show it to me in this way? Very plain, very direct, very open. And it's very plain, very specific, very clear. The other thing that I want to notice is that he prays in the name of his master Abraham. This servant has never talked to God face to face. The servant is not the friend of God. The servant is not the one that God has come to multiple times. So the servant prays in the name of one who does have a relationship with God. And I thought about that, I realized this is much the same way that we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. We have no rights. We have no relationship with God previously of our own merits. We have no standing before God, but we know one that does. We identify with one that does. And so he prayed in the name of his master Abraham, O God of my master, will you do this for me? And we pray, O God, Father of my Savior, Jesus Christ, hear my cry. And as I said, it seems that he's praying as he goes. That it's a matter of, it's not that he's diligently closing himself in a closet and praying hard for this matter. But as he arrives and understands where he is and the situation where he is, he prays to God for help. Very, very open communication with God. And then most specifically and most notably, he prays for a sign. He prays for God's wisdom, and his clear leading. And he prays that, the one that God has chosen will be revealed in a very specific way. And we're a little bit lax to pray that way. We're a little bit hesitant to put God on the spot and say, God, show it to me in a way that is clear and unmistakable. And many times we'll pray that way, but then we'll leave what clear and unmistakable means to be so vague that we're still unsure. And yet this servant said, I need an answer. God, show it to me in this way. I don't know what to say about this. I don't know whether I can encourage us to say to God, God, I'm sitting on this bench in the mall. Will you send me someone to talk to about the gospel who will sit down on this bench with me? It would be clear. I would be completely negligent if someone came and sat down and I did not open a dialogue with them. But that's so different than what we hear about prayer. But this is what the servant was doing, in effect. And as I was studying this, I drew a very obvious parallel to evangelism. And I've heard that the servant could also represent the Holy Spirit, that the Father sends the Holy Spirit to gather a bride for his Son. It's a beautiful picture. That the Father has sent the Holy Spirit into the world to prepare the bride to come back to his Son. It's beautiful. In another way, we can also see that the servant has a commission that he must perform, to go and to reach out and to find and to bring back. And similarly, we have a commission to go and to spread the fame, the richness, the greatness of our God, and to attract people to it. And so there is a very obvious parallel to evangelism in the work of this servant. And as we go, as we arrive where the bride may be, where the ones that Jesus would have to be his bride are, may we be openly praying for direction, for clarity, for specific help in reaching out to the ones who are ready. The ones that the Lord has been working in their heart, has been providing and preparing for a long time. It makes sense. It makes sense that we would go to the well and ask the Lord, show me the one that needs to hear the right words today. Certainly we are called to preach to every man. But how more effective is it to realize that it's not our preaching, but that it's God that is going to bring together the right circumstances, the right person, the right work to touch the life and to bring that person to the moment of their decision. Rebecca had to be willing to come. Rebecca had to say to her father and to her brother, yes, I will go with that man tomorrow and I will not delay. I am willing to go and meet this man. But everything else about this whole situation was out of her hands. Who brought the servant to the well? Who brought Rebecca to the well just as the servant stopped praying? Who put it into Rebecca's mind to offer to pour water for the camels? These are things that Rebecca had no knowledge of what was going to happen. And the Lord brought her to a point where she was able to make a decision. And she decided to come. May we be so focused, so openly discussing with God, where would you have me serve? Who would you have me speak to? Lord, show me the one that I should speak to today, right now. And you know, it's a scary thing to pray because he probably will show you someone. And then you don't have any way to chicken out of it. I'd love to hear a story of someone who took this concept and went out and prayed for someone in a purple hat to show up, thinking that no one would show up in a purple hat, but God would do it. Don't you think? God's not going to let you out of this. He wants you to be there to do his work. So the last question that we asked were, what were the results? And let's read briefly Genesis 24:15 and following. It came to pass before he had done speaking that, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? She said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And if we kept reading at the end of the chapter, we'd find that Rebekah went with him. Laban and Nahor agreed to send her. She agreed to go. She comes back to Isaac. And when she sees him and he sees her, they run to meet each other. And Isaac takes her as his wife. God answered very clearly, very directly, very obviously, faster than the servant thought was possible. We read that he wondered at this girl. He's like, seriously? I thought I'd at least have to get through three or four. But God answered before he stopped asking. And God answered clearly and openly and obviously. And the servant was able to do the will of the Lord because he'd asked. And he'd asked clearly, and he'd asked the Lord to be obvious about it. May our prayers be so simple, so plain spoken. May we pray as we go. May we pray specifically. May we pray and move. He had to ask the girl. That was the first part. He had to open the conversation. And he did. He prayed and then he moved in faith, expecting the answer to come. He prayed in accordance with his call. He prayed in the name of his master. May we pray in such a way. May we pray daily, hourly, for the Lord to be clearly speaking to us and leading us in every step. Brethren, let's pray. God, I thank you for all that you've shown to us and the wonderful examples that you have for us. And Lord, as we open prayer tonight, I would not take any more time. But Lord, let's clear our hearts and clean our hearts and prepare us to speak to you and to be in your presence and to lay our requests at your feet. And Lord, I pray that you will move and do great things. Lord, we know you to be a great and a powerful God, and we do not deserve to be in your presence. But in the name of our Master, the gracious and loving Savior, Jesus Christ, who has cleansed us and has a place of his own before you, Lord, in his name and on his merits do we come before you and we lay our request at your feet. In Jesus' name, amen.